You are listening to another edition of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Daft Yanks studios. And joining me, as always, from the Crescent City studios is Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Man, you caught me in the middle of a stout sip there. You almost caught me to where I was going to have to talk with, you know, while drinking. That wouldn't have been good. And like always, as soon as we go on air, I get a freaking sinus attack. I almost had to clear my throat in the middle of your intro there. Excuse me. It's that time of year.
Yeah, respiratory problems.
Yeah, it's that time of year when it starts to get cool. My sinuses go cuckoo.
So, all right, we got a couple topics today on the show. But I think we're going to spend the first, 90 to 120 minutes breaking down the USA versus Portugal friendly. Who's with me?
Yeah. 75 minutes of it is figuring out who Tyler Adams is.
Yeah, I don't know. No, we're not going to talk about that. But we do have two things. So we do have we'll be talking about, the World Cup NIT, I guess we can call it. And then we'll be doing a preview of the North London Derby, which will be taking place this Saturday.
Oh, TDY Bantz edition.
That's right. So let's just dive right into this. Now, I'm going to blame all you people on Twitter. Now, Corey, you left Twitter. You're probably the smartest person out of the two of us and our entire audience because you're not on there anymore. But yeah. I do remember that when the USA was in danger of missing the World Cup, and as the time got along, people were joking of the idea of, well, if we miss the World Cup, there's all these other countries missing the World Cup. We could put on our own tournament. Wouldn't that be great? Well, you know what, you idiots? You talking about this is going to make this a reality. Now, if you haven't heard, this is a very bad idea, much like the Nations League we talked about last week. Good Lord. And so the idea leaked out a couple days ago that the U.S. might play friendlies before the World Cup against other nations who missed, like Italy, Chile, Ivory Coast, I think was mentioned. But now we're getting a full-blown tournament is being proposed, according to the sources, of course, right? In quote, sources. And Corey's buddy Ives has the news. And so, yes. And Corey, you could all think, everybody out there, guess who is organizing this said tournament?
Probably starts with S and ends in
Begins in S. And ends in is it slum? Are you talking about slum?
Close.
Oh, no. Then what are you talking about? I have no idea.
I thought you told me some was...
Oh, some! Oh,
yeah. Oh, thumb. Yeah, exactly. Wait, don't confuse me there.
Who are just... who've been victorious in the recent, NASL versus USSF lawsuit. Or not a lawsuit. It was an injunction hearing. But anyway, so yes, some is trying for another massive money grab here with this tournament. It's a terrible idea. And I don't know why anybody would be interested in this. Now, we'll get into another point here in a minute that I thought of earlier in the week and I just remembered. But Corey, you had a point you wanted to make. We are reading the article by your buddy Ives, who has blocked Corey. Well, Corey was blocked on Twitter. Since you're not on there anymore, it doesn't matter, I suppose.
Yeah, technically I blocked everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But he had in his last paragraph, he made a point that you wanted to have a contention with.
Yeah, he just said something to the effect of, here, let me pull up the article again real quick. I closed it.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay, you could paraphrase.
Yeah, paraphrasing, he basically said something along the lines of some of these countries have international calendar dates to fill, and they would be looking forward to help with their rebuilding process. And to me, that's a very North American way of looking at the game, and that again, there's this, I don't want to say it's a wrong idea, because again, obviously games can help players, but to me, that's one of the reasons why we struggle at this international level, is that we look at the game in the wrong way. A lot of nations, you don't build national teams with games. You build national teams through your infrastructure and your development systems. And you basically pick the players that develop in the league. You don't develop you don't develop players at the national team level. This is something that several of our buddies have talked about it on some of their shows, and that they're talking about, on your, at least from what I remember when I was on Twitter. So again, to me, that's one of the shackles that kind of, that we put on ourselves that holds us back from getting to that, so-called elite level, is that it's simple things like that, how we kind of view the game incorrectly. the function of a national team incorrectly. Because like I said, Italy does not build a national team through international friendlies. I'm sorry, they just don't.
Okay, very good points. So we have that. So this tournament, again, if you are against this, don't watch it. Don't buy tickets to it. Because if you do, you're just going to encourage them to do this in the future. But here's the kicker. This is actually kind of good news with the I guess, a third money grab, which is the expansion of the World Cup after this current edition. You won't have these situations, right? We're not going to miss the World Cup in CONCACAF. It'd be almost impossible. We'd have to finish like dead last. Italy is not going to miss in an expanded, right? So this is really your last. This is the last time you're going to see this type of stuff. And it's kind of too bad, because it wasn't exciting. I think it's kind of exciting to see new teams beating some of these established, blue bloods. But you're going to lose that with an expanded World Cup.
Well, yeah, because part of the reason they were counting on the money from the World Cup. So obviously they're just going to create something to try and recoup some of the money that they know they're going to lose. So if anything, I would encourage people not to watch. If anything, just to kind of, if you want real change in the likes of the USSF, don't buy the tickets, to kind of stick it to them, and hopefully the lack of money. Because again, I think we've said this on this show before, that real change rarely comes through dialogue and discussion. That's a giant myth that we have in this modern world, that dialogue and diplomacy changes the world. That's actually very, very rare. The way you change, especially people in power, is usually two ways: violence/war, or hitting them in the pocketbooks. So obviously I'm not calling for any sort of violent overthrow of the USSF.
Why not? Let's raid Chicago. Let's go tonight. Let's send tactical teams to the soccer house.
With my libertarian leanings and, admitting to being center right sometimes, you already probably got people that are even friends with us already, wanting to label us alt-right and Nazis and all that other, stuff, even if it is jokingly. But to the point, don't buy the tickets just to stick to the USSF. Teach them a lesson that, yeah, we missed the World Cup, but it's mainly your fault. So we're not going to support this, what amounts to a chicken shit attempt at recreating the World Cup experience by, having the circus of hopefully some notable nations come visit and bring some star players that we can charge $70 for a ticket when we really should be charging $30.
Try 140.
Yeah, whatever they are. So, just saying that anything over 30, there's no way I'd buy it, because fuck you, this ain't the World Cup. This is some chicken shit summer tournament. Why would I pay top dollar?
Exactly. So don't let them recoup their money. And you could all guess. So we talked about some is heading this up, but guess what? Guess what network wants to broadcast this monstrosity? Easy guess.
Yeah,
like you said, begins with F and ends in ox.
Oh, damn it. I thought it was going to be that secondary history channel, the AHC or whatever it's called.
So no, our good friends
the one with all the paranormal shows. They might actually get me to watch it if you put that channel.
Yeah, so Fox wants to broadcast this thing. So again,
shocker.
Don't give them the money. That it's going to A, fill the coffers of US soccer. And here's another thing I thought about too, which I've seen some estimates, but think how much money Nike is losing with US not in the World Cup on kit sales. Right now, they leaked a pretty decent looking kit, which was supposed to be kind of a throwback to the 92 one, which makes sense now because if you look at all these World Cup kits that have been released, everybody's doing retro, and we're talking every Nike, Adidas, whoever else. How does that happen? Right? They're all in cahoots. So everybody was doing these retro and throwback ones, and we were going to do throwbacks of the 92 kits that actually look good. And so now Nike's looking at losing money. But guess what? They can sell them now because they're going to make up their own damn tournament so they can sell some kits.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's another excuse for why they're doing the tournament. They need something to showcase the kits so they hopefully get people to buy them.
Yeah. So sorry to be cynical, but I think we're right.
Hey, sometimes it's cynical for a reason.
So we'll see. So here – each week, I want to now inject some listener feedback on Twitter. Corey's not there, but I'll read it. At Two Daft Yanks, what should we call this tournament? All right, what should this tournament be called with these World Cup losers, these World Cup second rates, these people who couldn't qualify through their World Cup qualifying? What should we call the tournament? So send in your recommendations, and we might talk about them next week, or we'll retweet you at the very least if you get a good one. At Two Daft Yanks, of course. And last thing before we move on from this, all the people who are talking about Giovinco when I play for Italy, well, you're going to get that chance now because he's going to play in this craptastic tournament in North America. He's going to be capped by Italy.
There you go.
He's finally going to get called back into the squad. So there you go. You get all happy clap that, all you FC Toronto people.
Yes, yeah, so my entrant for the name of the tournament is is shit.
Shit. What? Yep. Is that an acronym?
Yeah, the Sum Home Invitational Tournament.
The Sum Home Invitational Tournament?
Yes.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to write that down.
Cuz again,
the Sum
jokes about the NIT, it literally will be an invitational tournament.
Invitational, yeah, tournament. Actually, that has a nice ring to it. We can make shirts up for it, too.
Yeah. What is this shit? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is the Sum Home Invitational Tournament.
Yeah, that's right. AKA the USSF Invitational.
Yeah.
The shit. It's the shit.
Yeah. Come down and see the shit. It's the shit. What is this shit? You know, you can see if George Carlin was still alive, you could get him to do the
It would be great.
Get him to do the promo. What is this shit?
Yeah, it would be great. Well, maybe let's dig him up and reanimate him. Just for that alone.
So anyway, that's my entrant for the what we should call it.
I think that's pretty good. I don't think anybody will top that. But if you can, go to @2daftyanks, please. And tweet us. Let us know.
Or even if you can come up with a more clever for shit, or, you know, more clever definition for shit.
Yeah, more clever acronym. Yours is pretty good, though, just off the, you know, an opening basis. A very good first cut, first draft. All right, enough of that. No one cares. I don't care. It's like, come on. But you know what we do care about, Corey?
North London Crisis Derby?
No, the return of club football.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And it's going to get kicked off in England, at least. I'm sure. I don't know if they might be playing, like, you know, some Friday games in Germany or France. I'm not sure. But Saturday morning, early kickoff is your North London Derby from your stadium, right? It's Arsenal's at home.
Yeah, see, honestly, I don't even recall.
No, it is. They're at home. And I'm forgetting the name of the stadium. We just call it the Library. What that is? The Emirates? No, it's not the Emirates.
Yeah, it's the Emirates.
Oh, the Emirates. Okay, yeah. No, I get that. The Emirates and the Etihad, because they both begin with E. And they're both Middle Eastern.
Yeah, I'm sure they're, yeah.
It gets very, very confusion. Confusing. So, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, very confusion. You went doggo meme on me there.
Yeah. So, Spurs will be traveling, you know, the few miles down the road. Actually, further than that, because I don't know. Whatever. Technically, we're based at Wembley, but our training ground is in North London. So, we'll come down from our North London training ground.
No, you play at Wembley. You're based in North London.
Yeah, I know. The training ground still is an extreme North
London. They're trying to claim Wembley now.
No, we're not. No, I'm just
saying. You just did.
No, I didn't claim it. Yeah. I don't know why they call it the National Stadium anymore. It's Spurs Stadium. So the North London Derby will be contested. Do you believe it is the early kickoff, which is, you know, like, what, 7:30 Eastern time? I don't know, 5:30 my time, 6:30 your time.
Yep.
Early. Just fine. I'll get up for it. But just your thought here. I do not like the scheduling of this coming off an international break. I'd rather I have a couple games under my belt before I play such an important fixture. Do you think that impacts the game at all with it coming being the first game after a break?
I'm probably yeah, I mean, it's my club, so it doesn't matter if I'm biased. Generally, I think
be biased. We're supposed to be. This is the
Generally, I think it does because a lot of times, traditionally, that's where a lot of the Arsenal injuries crop up is on international break, or they come back gimped up, and then we got to play them, and then they go from gimpy to completely, you know, ganked or whatever, completely, sure. You know, completely crocked.
All right. So let's get into that. Yeah, so I had the team news on our thing. Now, I know we could start with you since you're talking here. I know Giroud got hurt on international duty in France.
Yeah, which so I didn't check.
He's a major doubt.
Yeah, I didn't check to see what if anything more came out today. But yeah, right. As of yesterday, we were uncertain to the level of injury.
All right, here we go. So I've got the physio room, which I don't know how accurate it is. It's my go-to just for a general reference. So they actually – I've seen Giroud is out. But they're saying he's only a slight doubt. But I think he's out. I don't know. So they got Giroud.
Well, he hasn't been starting anyway, so.
Yeah, true. And they mentioned that. You got Rob Holding, who's a young center back, who's listed as being out. Ospina's out. I didn't know that. So your backup keeper's out. Mustafi is a slight doubt.
Yeah, because he got hurt on the previous international break.
Okay, and I've read that he may be in line to return, but I would doubt they would do that, but maybe. And then Cazorla's out as well, which we all know about.
Yeah, and then Koscielny was supposed to have re-injured something unless that changed, because
he's not on this list, but it doesn't mean this list is comprehensive.
Because he's the one who got hurt this past weekend or whatever.
Okay. And Spurs of their own, I mean, I don't even know. That's why this game's going to be hard to talk about. I have no idea. We have the biggest injury list in the Premier League right now. Let me get to us. I'm scrolling. Where the heck are we? Hold on. Let me just go back.
Wait, because now that I'm thinking about this may be another game where we play, because we've actually been playing El Nini as one of the center backs in the Europa. And
okay,
the last league game, we actually played Coquelin.
Yeah, because
as one of the center backs, so.
And the guy I like to call Nacho Monorail has played some center back too.
Yeah, so if Mustafi doesn't come back and Koscielny's out, that's my guess would be we'd play El Nini there.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the Spurs. Again, I have no idea. We won't know until Friday is when Spurs have theirs, but Harry Winks has an ankle injury. He's a doubt. Kane is a doubt. I'm pretty sure Kane's going to play. He pulled out of England duty. Our big problem is that goalkeeper, where Michel Vorm, who is our backup, is out with a knee injury. Hugo Lloris got injured in the Champions League match in the win against Real Madrid. He's listed as out, but I've read that he might return. But remember, and we didn't get to talk about this, in the last match before the international break, Spurs actually played with their third keeper and got a shutout and a win against Crystal Palace. And that would be, I forget his first name already. His last name is Gazzaniga.
Paulo?
Yeah, there you go. Paulo Gazzaniga, the Argentinian. Yeah, Paulo. So he may very well play in a North London derby, which just blows your mind, right? People are out. Wanyama's out with a knee injury. Eric Lamela's back in training, but he's out. So we listed Lloris and Vorm is out. Alderweireld's out with a hamstring injury. Dele Alli might be out. So Spurs are looking at an extensive injury list.
Man, they might have to run out the U23s out there, which I think y'all beat us in the U23s a couple weeks ago, 3-2. Okay.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that. Yeah, so we'll see. I think we're going to be okay. I'm pretty sure Alli and Kane are going to play. Winks might play.
Kane's going to play.
Yeah, Kane's going to play, I guarantee you.
They're going to shoot him up with the Diego Costa horse placenta. There's no way Kane's not going to play against Arsenal.
Yeah, and then Lloris, I think, will play too. But again, we don't know. So we'll see. So the team news for both teams, I think, is going to be fascinating to see Friday. But I don't think it really is going to change too much how the teams play, because the good thing about both managers is they set their teams up in a pretty consistent fashion, even though the formation may change, right? Or the tactics, I don't know. The style is usually the same.
Yeah, the philosophy doesn't really change.
Yeah, there we go. That's a better word, the philosophy. So it's going to be interesting there to see what the team news brings. But when we look at this, now I didn't even know this. So I'm looking at whoscored.com, who lists the recent history, which is the past six games. And let me actually make sure that this is just league only. Okay, this includes five league games and then one cup game, which would be the League Cup.
Yeah, the only one we beat, y'all, was the League Cup.
There we go, yeah. So it's actually two wins for Spurs, three draws, and the only win for Arsenal is in the League Cup. So Arsenal
That was the Matthew Flamini.
Yeah, it was.
The night he played like Zidane.
He did. Yeah, that was like, I was like, how are we losing? Because he came off an injury, and he was playing like out of his gourd.
Yeah, he had that
my goodness.
That volley, that the winner was the volley that he hit where the ball popped up like 30 yards in the air, and he came in. Like I said, he struck it like Zidane, Matthew Zidane.
Yeah, he did. So I don't think Arsenal's beaten Spurs since like 2014.
It was the Rosicky match.
That match where he
scored like in the first or second minute.
Yeah, so it's been like 3 years since Arsenal have beaten Spurs. That's crazy. In league play, anyway.
So yes, the records normally don't concern me too much, because even when we were winning league titles, Spurs usually did fairly well against Arsenal. Not so much because, again, they had one of those kind of records, same kind of thing. They didn't win for nine matches, but four or five of those were draws. So, you know, you can make the argument that, you know, in a couple of those games, they could have easily have won, you know, had they not faced, you know, our best striker ever and or, you know, caught a break or two.
Sure, yeah, and all the games have been close. I mean, I'll just read the scores. 2-0, 1-1, 2-2, 1-1, 2-1, 2-1. So there you go. It's not like anyone's winning 4-0.
And like I said, it's always been a fairly – you know, I'm hesitating, trying not to use it, but I'll use the phrase anyway. It's one of those derbies where you can throw the records out the window, usually.
Yeah, you can. And I think it's one of the – it's a big derby, but I still think it's underrated by the media.
Somewhat, because, I mean, the only time we actually beat y'all fairly decisively in the last 10 years, y'all still jumped up on us 2-0. So, I said, it's usually not without its
– it's usually a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually highly combative, highly contested, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, and I forgot the big news is Mike Dean.
Yeah, see, that's actually the thing that worries me the most is.
And yeah, and Spurs has like some crazy record. I think we did lose like maybe two out of the last three times he was over. But Spurs had some crazy like record of like 20 games unbeaten when Mike Dean was the official for the game. Now, I don't know how much you're reading to that. It's not like Mike Neen is making decisions for Spurs to win, but that's a pretty crazy stat.
Yeah, because my complaint about Mike Neen, he's a perfect example of Neen isn't necessarily pro one team or the other. He is one of those guys, though, that you can tell sometimes he feel like he has to get involved in the match instead of maybe letting the match play out.
Yeah. He's pro chaos.
Yeah, or well, he's one of those, well, I haven't called anything in 20 minutes, so I probably should, so let's do it.
Yeah, penalty, yeah.
Yeah, or boom, three yellow cards in 90 seconds.
Yeah, so that's a little worrying because he's kind of a loose cannon. And he has the tendency to award some pretty odd penalty kicks as well at times.
And, you know, do some pretty odd gesticulations and Lord of the Dance type movements.
Oh, he is. Yeah. If you're not familiar, and I'm sure you are, if you listen to this show, you know all about Mike Neen. But just Google Mike Neen on YouTube and you'll get all these great videos.
Yeah, I think the way I found the video that you sent me was Mike Neen likes an advantage or something like that.
Yeah, just all the crazy stuff, his gesticulations, as Corey said, and
holding his arms out for the advantage like 15 seconds after the ball's gone away.
Like running around like,
okay, Mike, I got it.
He's running around like he's an airplane.
I got the call, Mike. You can calm down now. I got it.
Oh boy. Oh, let's see. What else is there to? I mean, I don't know. What else do you have to say about the match? As I said, it's hard to say too much because there's so many injuries on both sides.
Yeah. Because in terms of, like, you know, if we're going to do any sort of result, prediction, hope, whatever, this is a sign of the times. If you gave me a draw right now, I'd probably take it.
At home? Wow. Yeah. I'd be okay with a draw, too.
Well, mainly because, like what you said earlier, coming off the international break, we didn't play that well against City. Well, we kind of did, but not really, which, you know, anybody who's watched enough soccer, you know what I'm talking about. There were times where we could have got into the game, but we didn't, and then ended up, you know, falling away more than we should have. Anyway, so since we didn't go into the international break, I'm not that confident coming out of the international break. So, like I said, that's the main reason. If you gave me a draw now, I'd probably take it.
Sure. And so I would say, and I'm sure you'd probably agree, the biggest team news to watch on Friday is Spurs goalkeeping situation, because if Gazzaniga has to start a match in such a big high profile match, Arsenal would be the clear favorites in that situation.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. Normally if we were, I mean, we're better than we were a few years ago, but if we were, we're still not the team that shoots from distance enough for my liking. So I think that kind of the change of keeper isn't as pronounced as it might be against other teams.
Yeah, and we'll see, and it will help that he built some confidence in the last match if he has to play. He struggled very early, but he actually kept Spurs in the game. He made two outstanding saves that denied Crystal Palace from taking a 1-0 lead, which chances are they'd have probably at least gone on the draw. So he came through big, but I think that a North London derby would just be too big for him. So that's what my belief is. Hugo Lloris is going to play, but we won't know until Friday, and we may not even know then, because Spurs might just play mind games with Arsenal and wait until Saturday to run him out there just before kickoff.
Yeah, what I was going to say earlier, you can guarantee there's a bit of the fog of war going on with the level of Lloris's injury.
So I don't have anything much else to say. I mean, I guess we can give kind of a summary of like what we like about both of our sides going into this. Again, with the injuries, it's hard to say. Oh, Corey's having an attack.
Sorry.
Oh boy.
That's the perils of perils of drinking when you get sinus attacks too. Oh yeah. Boy. Sorry, people.
Yeah, one of the big things for me has been our acquisition of Davinson Sanchez from Ajax. He stepped right in and he's looked like he's played for Spurs forever. And he's only, what, like 21?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's a young kid. He's, for a center back at that age, he's outstanding. He's going to be – yeah, he won't be playing for us for – I mean, for too long. He has the type of talent where he could play for Barca or Real.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be one of the guys that, like you said, Barca, Real – excuse me, Real's going to come in and
– or maybe Byron, yeah.
4 or 5 years and drop $90 million on your plate.
Yeah, so he's been great. We'll see.
Well, yeah, because like I told you off air a few weeks ago, I don't get jealous over transfers much, but when y'all signed him, I was like, yeah, that them getting Sanchez kind of pisses me off, because that's somebody, because I follow Ajax's development a little closely, I knew that he was, a lot of potential there, and he was highly thought of. So yeah, when y'all signed him, I was like I said, I admit I was a little pissed off.
And then I guess the last thing I'll mention is, if Kane does play, and we both agree that he will, he loves a London derby. I think he scored and I should have done some research and actually look at the numbers, but he's averaging well over a goal a game against other London clubs. He loves a London derby.
Yeah, I want to say it was something like 16 and 12 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it's double-figure games and double-figure goals. It's crazy.
And that's all London derbies, but yeah.
Productive, yeah.
He likes them a stage.
So there we go. All right, any thoughts on Arsenal? From your point that you want people to kind of look at.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because we're still kind of getting used to that back three setup. So now that we've kind of run it a bit, I think it does suit the personnel that we have, because you can play wide without actually playing wide, if that makes sense. So you don't really need a lot of wide players to play wide, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because it's a lineup that's built for your outside front three to come in anyways, which is what we were always doing with the 4-2-3-1 anyway. So I think that suits us, but sometimes we have the propensity to, if we don't get an early goal, we can sulk for pretty much the entire first half. So against lesser opposition, if we fall down 1-0, it's not a big deal, but I think it would be a big deal on Saturday, considering all the emotional and the ancillary implications with the fans and everything. So it would be, I guess my point is, I'm trying to make that 1-0 on Saturday coming would be a much bigger hill to climb than 1-0 the last few times we've fallen down 1-0. Cause like I said, we have had a propensity lately to kind of sulk if we don't get an early goal. So I expect us to come out and press for the early goal. So,
which could open you up.
Right. So the first 20 minutes are going to be key for our, perpetually fragile egos.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Well, everybody should watch out for that. So I guess before we head on out of here, I guess we'll give some predictions. Half educated predictions. I can go first if you want me to.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, see, I don't know. Again, the goalkeeping situation for us is our number one thing. If Lloris is the keeper, I think we'll win. And it'll be something of the effect of 2-1. But I think if Gazzaniga has to play, I think you're probably looking at a draw or maybe a loss, maybe like a 2-2 draw or a 3-2 loss. So I'll kind of give it there. For me, it all depends on who's in goal.
Yeah, pretty simple for me. 2-2 is what I was thinking as well.
All right, so we'll see. So the first North London derby of the year, coming off the international break, played at the Emirates. So, yeah. So we'll see there. I know there's some other games this weekend. Now, they don't pale in comparison, of course. Naturally, right?
Yeah, I would say, to be honest, I didn't even check the other schedule yet.
We could run through it here.
I was going to say that's been my Friday, one of my Friday rituals of late was, you know, wait till the last day and then check the schedule.
Well, it's a heavy schedule on Saturday, which is very interesting. Pretty much every game. There's only one game on Sunday. Your only Sunday game is Watford West Ham. But your other games, you got Arsenal Tottenham, of course. Chelsea will be going to West Brom. Man City will be going to Leicester. Liverpool will be hosting Southampton. And then Manchester United will be hosting Newcastle United. So there's kind of a quick review of what's coming up.
Yeah, so I'm sure Liverpool will be doing a lot of scouting in that game.
They will, yes.
Yeah, seeing who they're going to buy next.
Yeah, Liverpool A versus Liverpool B.
Yeah.
In a cup match or a league match. Oh, boy. So, all right. So the wheels are turning on the TDY video front. We will let you know more about that next week, probably. But we're getting closer and closer to launching a new YouTube-based experience for you all.
Yeah,
which includes some good ideas from Corey.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Hopefully it just doesn't degenerate into me complaining about, you know, journalists or people that I used to argue with on Twitter.
Yeah, because then he's going to have to get banned from YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So, all right, boys and girls, we hope you enjoyed this North London Derby preview. We will be back next week to talk about that match. I'm sure maybe we'll do something. I don't know. Maybe Sunday or Monday we'll record a reaction podcast, a short one of the match. And then we'll see what the rest of the week brings us. So any last thoughts, Corey?
No, just going to reiterating again, if I could speak properly, don't buy the shit tournament tickets.
There we go.
And don't watch either.
I ditto that. So, all right, for Corey Chatelaine, I'm Chad Smith saying thank you for listening to the Two Daft Yanks podcast.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.